Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, May 10th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Jonga Kandemiri. Here are our top stories this evening. Morgan Tsvangirai's MDCT says the proposed introduction of point notes is politically motivated.
We had the same era of bearer checks, and we had poor quintillionaires and poor millionaires in the country. So the shadow cabinet was very much disturbed that this government wants to walk the same road again.
Former workers of the National Railways of Zimbabwe demand their terminal benefits.
There are those employers who are coming forward to say we'll be able to pay in installments. We don't have the money. There is another group of employers which is adamant, which is not communicating.
And some Zimbabweans are making a living through keeping quail birds.
I'm forgetting my $12.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. The MDCT Shadow Cabinet met today to discuss cash shortages affecting the transacting public and criticized plans by the central bank to introduce bond notes, saying the move was politically motivated. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Following the Shadow Cabinet meeting held at MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai's residence in Harare, Cabinet and Tsvangirai's spokesperson, Luke Tamborinyoka, told Studio 7 that his party expressed concern at the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe's plans to introduce bond notes, saying such a move was detrimental to the country's economic growth.
The Shadow Cabinet expressed the concern, noted with concern that this is what government has decided to do. It noted with concern that Zimbabweans have walked this road before, and it was a traumatic road. In 2008-2007, we had the same era of bearer checks, and we had poor quintillionaires and poor millionaires in the country. So the Shadow Cabinet was very much disturbed that this government wants to walk the same road again. Having noted this, the Shadow Cabinet also had detailed presentations of how this new measure was going to affect all sectors of the economy and how it was going to affect ordinary Zimbabweans.
Tamborinyoka said the Shadow Cabinet felt that the proposed introduction of the bond notes that has been criticized by several Zimbabweans was a ploy by the ZANU-PF government to print money to enable it to pay civil servant salaries and for other services because the government purse is empty.
It is actually very clear that this government is broke. This government has run out of money. This cash crisis was beginning to affect this government. You can actually tell that in the very near future, this government was not going to be able to pay its own civil servants. And you and me know that it wants to use these bond currencies to pay civil servants because it is broke.
But Central Bank Governor John Mangunjga told Studio 7 by phone that the RBZ does not make key fiscal decisions along political lines. The central bank chief added that his bank's proposed intervention was meant to ease the cash shortages being experienced by members of the public. Contacted for comment, ZANU-PF spokesperson Simon Kayamoyo requested questions in writing, but he had not responded at the time of going to air. Tamborinyoka says the MDCT has called for an urgent national executive meeting Thursday to map the way forward, noting that this issue now requires a political solution.
It was also noted that the root cause of this crisis was political, and that what was needed was an urgent political response, a comprehensive political response to this economic madness.
But political analyst David Masunda says he does not see the government backtracking on its plans to introduce the bond notes.
And this is a decision that must have been taken at the very highest level, given the crisis that we are facing in terms of hard cash from the banks. This is not, I think, an easy decision that came from either the governor or his office. It must have come from government itself, realizing that that might be the only way to address the situation. Whether it is political or not, it depends on where you are looking at. But I think it is one practical way of trying to address the issue. And it might not be very popular because Zimbabweans still have that feeling of the bearer notes at the back of their mind.
Tamborinyoka said His party wants the country to maintain the current multi-currency regime, arguing that Zimbabwe's economy was not yet stable. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Meanwhile, some local people are camping outside banks in Mashingo in an attempt to withdraw their hard-earned United States dollars in fear that they may lose their money, like what happened when the Zimbabwe dollar was dumped in 2009 when the country adopted multi-currencies. Our correspondent Gantry Maramba reports from the provincial capital.
Edmoma Konese is one of the villagers who has spent more than 3 days attempting without success to withdraw his money from a local bank. Makonese says he will only go back home when he gets the money.
Yeah, I've been here since Saturday trying to withdraw my money from the banks, but it is now Tuesday. I'm still waiting for my turn to get whatever little that is available in my account. The major reason is that there is so much uncertainty with this bond notes fiasco that we've just been told by the RBZ governor. I have lost my savings because of the hyperinflationary environment that persisted in 2007-2008, and I wouldn't want to risk again. So I would I'll stay in town, stay in the pavements for as long as is possible, so that I withdraw my money.
Another Masingo resident, Sheila Mtua, who has braved the harsh weather condition and decided to camp at a local bank, says all she needs is her money.
I've come all the way from Zaka and sleeping in the pavements, and so far we don't even know when we are getting our money. And with the fear of those bond notes that are coming, now we don't know whether maybe they are just like those Zim dollars and they'll be slashed out like in the bank. So I'll just wait. With this coldness, I would rather wait. But now we are afraid what is going to happen with our economy. Since we are failing even to get the US dollar, how will we survive the curse if the bond are coming back in our country?
Terence Gono Conges, adding that it is difficult to understand the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe's move to introduce the bond notes.
They are trying to give us an explanation about how the bond notes will work with the US dollar, but the language is too technical to most of us, and we don't have any option but to secure what we had invested in our accounts.
Elton Chauke, another villager from Wenez Communal Lands, says they have lost confidence in anything that is done by the government, and as a result, they cannot accept what he calls worthless bond notes.
You know, I don't trust this government. I just think I should just save my dollars in my pocket, because the next time I will come up here and they will tell me that, you know, you now have a Zim dollar, you no longer have a US dollar, like what they did during the Zim dollar era, whereby they just woke up and say, announced that we no longer have money.
RBZ Governor John Mangujga says the bond notes are designed to promote exports while easing cash shortages. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mashingo, this is Gandhi Maramba.
And Central Bank Chief John Mangujga's task number one as he prepares to unveil bond notes is convincing the public that they will not depreciate in value, leading economists have said. Mangujga announced last week the introduction of bond notes in an effort to ease the current liquidity crunch and an attempt to stimulate the country's ailing economy. The notes, coming in $2, $5, $10, and $20 denominations and backed by $200 million from the African Export-Import Bank, are expected to start circulating in 2 months. Director of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe, Godfrey Kanyenze, says Mangujga's dilemma is that government has failed to reform and people lack confidence in the ability of the central bank to address both the cash crunch and economic problems. Kanyenze says the bond notes will see the dollar appreciate even more, adding that people have not forgotten the disaster of 7 years ago when Harare introduced the BRR notes that had no value at all. Economist Brains Muchemwa, director of a microfinance institution, Oxlink Capital, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the bond notes will be dead on arrival if Mangujga does not get buy-in from Zimbabweans.
When you look at the challenges relating to accessibility of cash, to some extent, yes, the bond notes will be able to alleviate the challenges associated with access to cash. But of course, the extent to which they will be able to address that challenge relates to, unfortunately, the issues of confidence in the market. And it becomes, therefore, important that issues relating to confidence be addressed so that this bond note may be able to address that cash problem, without which it might become very difficult to address the challenges if the confidence issues are not looked at. And the second one relating to whether indeed this may be able to provide stimulus in the market, that one is not it's very debatable, largely on account of the fact that $200 million is a very small amount of money in this market, especially if one is looking at how other economies the world over have used quantitative easing approaches to stimulate their respective economies.
How can Zimbabwe stimulate its economy?
The issue of economic stimuli is not an easy subject, especially for a country that is using US dollar. And when you look at the experience of European countries that have adopted the euro, I think the evidence is quite abundant that indeed economic stimulation is not an easy subject, even if you look at what has been happening in the US in terms of quantitative easing. But surely there's a lot of debate that is needed. Because when you look at stimulating this economy, it's not just about printing money, but it's about creating an enabling environment that makes it happen. And as such, you need a lot of reforms in terms of the ease of doing business.
Economist Brains Muchemwa, director of a microfinance institution, Oxlink Capital, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Young people out there, are you concerned about the many issues that affect you and Zimbabweans in general? Rise to the occasion. Make an impact. Let your voice be heard, and let's get talking on The Connection.
We cover a range of issues that affect young people.
I am Tatenda Gumbo.
And I'm Tungamili Nkomo.
And we are the hosts for your number one youth forum, The Connection. We are discussing the brain drain being faced by Zimbabwe as young people are studying in the diaspora and remaining to work and build their careers in those respective countries.
To get involved, send us a message with the hashtag TheConnection on WhatsApp. The number is 001-202-465-0318.
More than 70 former National Railways of Zimbabwe workers today approached the parastatal seeking terminal benefits 10 months after their dismissal. The former workers' representative met with officials of the NRZ, who assured them that they are working on the terminal benefits. NRZ spokesman Fanuel Masikati said he was not yet aware of the incident and asked Studio 7 to call him tomorrow. But Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Union Secretary General Japhet Moyo tells Studio 7 that their affiliates were doing everything they could to help dismissed workers get their terminal benefits.
The organizations which are organizing in these different respective industries, some of them under the auspices of the ZCTU, are helping these workers to either return back to work if the company is unable to pay, or to make sure that the companies pay what is stipulated by the law. Our experience, or what we are witnessing, is that some of the workers have not managed to return back to work. Neither have they been paid these retrenchment packages. Those who have returned to work, sometimes they face the difficulties of even accessing their salaries. So they return back to work and still they are behind in getting their salaries, or they get their salaries in staggered forms because of the challenges I think the companies are going through. But the other group is not at work at all. They were not able to be taken back, and they were not even paid their retrenchment packages.
How is this going to be resolved, Mr. Moyo, considering that it's now more than 10 months for most most of these workers without getting their terminal benefits?
There are those employers who are coming forward to say we'll be able to pay in installments. We don't have the money. There is another group of employers which is adamant, which is not communicating. And these are the cases which are likely to be spilling into the court because the employers are adamant or they are stubborn. These are unscrupulous employers who merely decide not to pay, not to follow the law. Because the law is very clear. It's either those workers are returned back to work or they are paid.
That was ZCTU Secretary General Japhet Moyo on the line from Harare.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up, Zimbabweans are making a living through selling domesticated quail birds. Stay tuned. But first, a look at regional and international news. New U.S. political surveys show the likely presidential contenders Republican Donald Trump and Democrat Hillary Clinton locked in tight contests in three battleground states that could control the outcome of the November election. Clinton, a former U.S. Secretary of State, continues to hold about a 6 percentage point national lead over Trump, a brash billionaire real estate mogul. The so-called Panama Papers affair that erupted last month is getting renewed attention as a huge database of documents linking rich politicians and celebrities with offshore tax havens goes online. The documents confirm what has been suspected a long time, that the global elite use shell companies to avoid paying taxes on their wealth. U.S. and Somali special forces conducted a joint raid early today on a base of militant group Al-Shabaab, killing or capturing an unknown number of militants. And President Barack Obama says he will visit Hiroshima, Japan, late this month, becoming the first U.S. leader to go to the city where an American warplane dropped the world's first atomic bomb in 1945 during World War II. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Large numbers of Zimbabweans are making a living through selling domesticated quail birds, but some of them have found the business tough due to lack of new markets for live birds, their meat and eggs. Our correspondent Athash Gwariwa has more details.
People in some parts of Matoland West Province keep quails for personal use while others are making money through selling the birds for breeding purposes. Some local people sell dressed quails and eggs in various markets and to households that find the meat palatable. The birds' eggs are a hit among many people who claim that they also have medicinal value. Medical practitioners could not be immediately drawn to verify these claims. One of the quail breeders, Alexio Mazambani of Alaska suburb in Chinoy, says he has been running a booming business from the time he started this business last year. Mazambani keeps 70 quails at his home and realizes 80 eggs a day, which he sells for $12. Mazambani says he will get such quantity of eggs for the next 2 years, since quails lay eggs for up to 2 years, depending at times on the breeding environment.
I'm now assured of my money every day. If the sun rises, I simply know I'm pocketing my $12, at least $12, each and every day for the next 2 years. So actually I'm benefiting a lot out of this quail farming.
Quail breeder Kenneth Mushonga Hand of Bruni Jinoi says quail eggs are in high demand as individuals visit his home to buy them. According to Mushonga Hand, who acquired quail keeping skills from a local company, M&S Company, says he started his business with 100 birds. Mushonga Hande says training is critical in reducing the high death rate among the birds that start laying eggs when they are 6 weeks old.
Actually, you got to go under a training, because if you just go into this business without the knowledge, the know-how of how to keep the birds, you end up maybe having some mismanagement. For example, sex ratio must be mastered. Then this issue of light. There are so many things that you got to know before you embark into business.
Mushonga Hande says he is not quite sure why so many people buy the same number of quail eggs per day. One of Mushonga Hande's customers, Miranda Choguguza, claims that she eats 2 quail eggs per day for controlling her weight.
I was fat, very fat. Those who know me, they know me as a fat woman. But now, because of the quail eggs, I drink almost every day. Now I'm very slim. I have to change my wardrobe.
Some people like quail meat and they say it's tastier than chicken. Karoi-based Dr. Ramson Miripiri says quail meat is no different from other wild birds in terms of nutrition content. But Dr. Miripiri says quail meat is tastier than any other wild bird because it has less fat.
You can behave as many zooters as you can. And after all, zooter, the meat is tastier.
As more people turn into quail business, some experts say this business is shrinking. Financial consultant Edmo Mazarure says the market of the quail bird business is almost flooded and some people are not realizing any profits. Mazarure says some companies train quail breeders for a fee, and those trained buy quails from them and sell eggs to the firms for incubation.
So we have by people who are primarily producing this product. So we have these guys, they train people, they offer people to have a product, maybe for free or maybe for a small fee. But then they get the money, and these people are stuck with the product at the end. This is a typical situation of a product scheme, pyramid scheme, whereby one is promised to have a lot of clients at the end, but they end up being stuck with the product. But the one who trained them, the one who sold them the product, gains all the money, and those who are left gain nothing.
A large number of Zimbabweans are now viewing the quail business as some kind of manna from heaven in a country that is facing serious social and economic problems. Pastor Donald Mushipe of Evangelical Church of Zimbabwe says quail birds are a God-given food, just like how God sent quails to the children of Israel.
It was a time of crisis when these crow were God-given, this crow to the people. You want to feed them because they were having a problem. They're complaining. They're saying, no, we don't have proper food. Especially in our time like Zimbabwe, we don't have enough food to cater for our people. So otherwise, other people here were trying to keep these things. They are trying by all means to feed the nation. They are there to help them financially, even also as a source of food.
The minister of religion may be right due to the fact that a large number of people are now making a living through selling quail birds. Kenan Musendami of Unyane High Desert Suburb in Shinoi, who is jobless, says this is his only source of income.
We are unemployed and definitely that's the means of income where we can get our income. We are not employed.
A government minister announced recently that Zimbabwe had temporarily suspended trading in quail birds, a move that was quashed by some senior state officials. Reporting for Studio 7 in Shinoi, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
Some Zimbabweans studying at various universities in the United States graduated this weekend, with others getting an opportunity to rub shoulders with U.S. President Barack Obama, who delivered one of his last commencement speeches before he leaves office at Howard University in Washington, D.C. Saturday.
One of the lucky Howard University graduates who was at the graduation ceremony at which President Obama delivered his commencement speech, Thelma Mubaiwa, says she felt inspired and ready to conquer the world after receiving tips on how to succeed. Mubaiwa, who came from Zimbabwe at 9, says it has been a long journey for her as she had to work to fund her studies while also attending school. Mubaiwa obtained a Bachelor of Arts degree in political science, majoring in politics and Afro-American studies. She said President Barack Obama's speech highlighting the need for people never to give up is exactly what she faced before graduating at the weekend.
What touched me the most was three things that he told us on how to succeed in life. You know, he said, you know, I'm going to give you a secret. And, you know, it was just talking about that dedication, that perseverance, and never letting anything, you know, hold you back. And for someone who grew up in Zimbabwe and, you know, had the opportunity to come to America and to get an amazing education and to watch, you know, a black president make office and then to see him physically, I mean, it was amazing.
President Obama did not only inspire the graduation class of 2016, but also lit a fire in one of the parents of students that was graduating in finance. Mrs. Patience Musonza came to see her second son to attend Howard University, Tapiwa, graduating. Mr. Obama's speech made her decide to take up a nursing degree at the same university starting this fall.
As a parent, I was really inspired because the one takeaway that I got from his message was, what is your strategy in life? What is your strategy? It's good to have ideas, but do you have a plan? I was really inspired and given the confidence to continue with my education because apparently I had applied to do a nursing program, and fortunately enough, I was accepted at Howard School of Nursing, and I'm aiming for higher ground.
Another Zimbabwean who graduated from Berea College in Kentucky and will be heading to Wall Street, where he has secured a position with Goldman Sachs, Leslie Matereke, says the road was not easy, but was definitely worth it. Matereke was on the United States Students Achievers Program, which assists underprivileged academically gifted kids to get education. He urged others who would like to pursue their studies in the United States to utilize USAP and other similar programs.
My uncle was taking care of me and my sister and my siblings because our parents had passed away. So we had the privilege that we had an uncle and aunt who wanted to invest in our education. Right around 2011, I learned about this program called United States Students Achievers Program.
Matereke said he received a lot of extended family support as he was an orphan, but that never stopped him from wanting to reach his full potential by taking advantage of opportunities offered to advance himself academically. Most of the Zimbabwean students who continue to graduate from American colleges say they would like to return home to help rebuild the country, but the situation is not yet conducive for advancing their careers. Reporting for Studio 7 from Washington, this is Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7's The Connection at 8:30 p.m. when our host will be talking with listeners and experts about youth brain drain. Now to recap today's top stories. Morgan Changrai's MDCT says the proposed introduction of bond notes is politically motivated. Former workers of the National Railways of Zimbabwe demand their terminal benefits. And some Zimbabweans are making a living through keeping quail birds. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Praxidis Jeremiah. This is Jonga Kandemi Irene.